Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to the Season Keepers, the show where the only two people we recommend keeping for the season is us. My name's Matt, aka Clean Sheet Wipeout.
My name's James, aka SK James FPL.
You're right, buddy.
Yeah, good, thank you.
Good man. Very quick turnaround this week, isn't it?
Oh, it really is. A lot of football coming up, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and obviously we're halfway through the Sky game week. But we thought we'd bring a bit of a Sky pod to you guys, you know, analyse the fixtures that have currently gone by, have a look to see how we're doing, maybe a look ahead to captaincies over the next 3 days, and then some Twitter questions at the end. So let's jump straight into it, James. First things first, it was Arsenal 2, Newcastle 0.
Yep, a very good performance from Arsenal. Sadly, I'm not on Ben White anymore, as I mentioned previously.
He is really kicking his ex-owners in the arse, isn't he?
Yeah, clean sheets now coming out of his ears.
When Passing he couldn't, tears.
Couldn't do anything before. But yeah, credit to those on Ramsdale as well. Obviously, 5 saves in the game. Very impressive.
Yeah, 12-pointer. And,
yeah, 12-pointer. Saka did very well. Obviously, got his goal. I punted on Smith Rowe for this fixture, partly to fund, I think, Alonso in one of my teams. And for captaincy in the other team, I think. Not for this game, obviously, for one of the captaincy days. Because Smith Rowe is very cheap. He's 7.5 million. And another, he could have had an assist if Aubameyang could shoot properly.
That is honestly one of the worst misses I've seen this season.
Yeah, absolutely horrific. But yeah, his general play was very good, Smith Rowe. So
yeah,
I'm not put off by his performance.
No, and obviously you mentioned, I think it's that Arsenal-Everton game that you're talking about there for the captaincy coverage. And for those on Aubameyang, I'd be a little bit worried at the moment. He's not really performing. He's obviously got booked again this game. He had the one shot, which was atrocious. And I genuinely think defence is probably the right play for Arsenal at the moment, aside from, say, Smith Rowe, who's a very good budget enabler. But yeah, obviously someone like Ben White, for myself, I'm on Ramsdale and he's been a gem since I've bought him in. So I think, yeah, Arsenal would be where I'd be going in that Everton game coming up. And I think defensively there's going to be some quite high ownership for that game too.
Yeah, I'd imagine so. Obviously, it's a weekly feature. This time it was Willock who got the tackle to you.
It was indeed.
For the Newcastle midfield. Just 4, which is low for Newcastle. Normally they like 6 or 7 or 5.
Yeah.
But yeah, credit to him. Shelby was having quite a few long shots like he does fancy himself. And I reckon it's a matter of time before he scores one of them.
Yeah, he forced Ramsdale into an exceptional save, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, credit to him. Dubravka back in goal, saved here. Actually played fairly well, but obviously conceded 2. But yeah, very good performance from Arsenal.
Yeah, I just think it's a bit of a struggle for Newcastle at the moment, and they need January to come a lot quicker.
Yep, get those players in.
Yeah, absolutely. Right then, let's jump on to a game which was good for tears for Crystal Palace players, but not so good for the result. It was Crystal Palace 1, Aston Villa 2.
No, yeah, a very good result for Gray owners. Obviously getting the goal and tier 2 passing.
It's absolute jam.
Yeah, dreamland for them. Gallagher getting tackled to you. That's
trusty Gallagher.
What we want. We want something from him, and we've got something. Even if it's just something small like that, it's still good.
Still ticks along.
Yeah, it's still ticking away. On the Villa side, John McGinn absolutely running the show. 7 tackles, a goal.
Yeah, an exceptional game.
Yeah, very good performance. Our old boy, Matty Target, scoring, opening the scoring. Yep. Another win for Villa. Obviously, those of you that own Danny Ings may be a bit concerned now. Obviously, benched. Maybe that's just obviously his injury history with this schedule coming up. They'll probably start him midweek, I'd imagine, maybe. Or just manage his minutes. Obviously, he's not been as impressive at Villa as he was at Saints.
Yeah, see if he regrets that move.
I hope so.
Yeah. But yeah, obviously, Crystal Palace are a team that we will discuss later on the pod, because there's a bit of a decision to make between probably Palace or Leeds players, and we'll come on to that a bit later. All right, let's move on to the game in which everybody inevitably captained Mo Salah, and we got an assist, but that was it. It was Liverpool 4, Southampton 0.
Yeah, dominant performance from Liverpool. I'm surprised there wasn't more tiers in it, but there were plenty of goals. Obviously, Van Dijk getting the goal and passing tier. But that's very much welcome. Alexander assist. I don't think many people are in on Jota in Sky, obviously, because there's always the, before Firmino got injured, there's the question mark of whether he'd play or not.
And he takes up that forward spot, doesn't he?
And he does, yeah. So those that are on him, obviously, you're feasting. But Robbo's back as well, playing very well.
Got
himself an assist, a clean sheet, just three passes off passing tier. Maybe he's one to consider going forward. Very strong performance from Liverpool. And disappointing from Southampton, and nothing for James Ward-Prowse, who I think is probably the most owned Saints player.
Yeah, between him and Livramento, obviously, I think.
Oh, yeah, Livramento, of course.
There's still quite a few people potentially on Livramento that will be arguably looking to move on after, a performance like this, for instance. But I think, it was partly down to the way we set up in the game. We went for a 3-4-3, effectively playing three strikers. I think Brozier, Adams and Armstrong all started together, and it really didn't work. It needed to be changed. And thankfully, Hasenhüttl changed it at half-time, and we only conceded one in the second half, because it could have been an absolute rout.
Yeah, it was a bit optimistic, the way we set up, and probably could have done with starting, obviously, we did in the second half at the start of the game.
That's one way to describe it, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Van Dijk return was very much welcome. I've got him in my main team, and it's good to see him, picking up some fairly solid points as of late.
Yep, definitely.
All right, let's jump on then to what was a particularly dull game, but there's some good tears in here. It was Norwich 0 at Wolves 0.
Yeah, I was very happy with Saar, who's in my better team, in goal. I was worried because Norwich were attacking. And
he made some good saves.
Pukki had a couple of good chances, and Saar thankfully kept them out. Gilmore back in the team. Obviously, we were speaking about how he wasn't playing quite a bit, but he was the only player to hit passing tier from Norwich.
Yeah, he got himself man of the match as well.
Yeah, had a very good game. So it'd be interesting to see if he becomes sort of a staple in Norwich's team.
If he does, he could become a very good budget enabler for that overhaul squad.
Yeah, it could allow you to do things you perhaps wouldn't be able to do ordinarily. So could be someone you could throw in. The Wolves defenders did well with passing tier.
They did.
Obviously a clean sheet as well. You got Size, Cody, Kilman all hitting tiers. Moutinho and Neves clocking up quite a lot of passes as well.
There's a few people in the Twitter sphere that have been on Max Kilman almost since overhaul. And he's been outstanding for them. Obviously picks up clean sheets, get himself passing tier. I think he's incredibly cheap in the game as well, from memory. And I don't see a reason why you'd want to be getting rid of at the moment, because when Wolves do keep a clean sheet, generally he's picking up, comfortably tier one, if not tier two passes. And I think just for his price, he's well worth the points that you're getting in. I wouldn't say obviously bring him in, but if you do have him, say you're in that conundrum that people are in with Livramento, for instance, I don't think you're in the same situation with someone like Max Kilman. I think he's very much a hold.
Yeah, I think he's gone on under the radar. Very good pick.
Big time. All right, then. And let's jump on to the last game on the Saturday. And another 0-0. It was Brighton 0, Leeds 0.
Yeah, it was a 0-0, but not for the lack of trying. Very sort of end-to-end.
Yeah.
But I think Potter did a good job of stifling the way Leeds play in their pressing game. So I don't think he really deserved the team to get booed off.
No, not at all.
But who knows? That's just the modern football fan. Wants everything. They want to be near the top of the league.
Agreed, yeah. And obviously, there was no attack in return for Rafinha in this game, but he picked up tackle tier for those that own him. Obviously, got himself an extra 2 points there, so a four-pointer in the game, which is surprising, for Rafinha to pick that up. What's more surprising for me, though, and I wasn't expecting it at all, was Lewis Dunk picking up passing tier against Leeds. Very rarely do you see a player or a team have a passing tier against them, given the pressing game. But yeah, Dunk comfortably and almost hitting tier two. Obviously, anybody that jumped on Webster didn't quite make tier one, but Dunk is just so consistent when it comes to passing tier. Even if he's played left of the back three, which he was in this game, still seems to be the boss, you know, the one that the ball consistently goes to. He's the one looking up to make the pass. And yeah, that's one of the many reasons why I've jumped on Lewis Dunk.
Yeah, they play it out from the back, and he clocks up a lot of passes as a result. I mean, Sanchez got 29 passes in this game. Obviously, he nearly hit tiers before, I think, Sanchez. Dunk's the kind of the main pick. Duffy got benched, so that will hurt anyone that's on him.
Yeah, I think if you're looking for an enabler, I think Adam Webster is probably the way to go, because I think Brighton will keep clean sheets and he will probably get passing tier comfortably in most games now. And at 7 million, I think he's a bargain. Obviously, most of us would have kept him post-overhaul had he not got injured. So, if you're looking to save a bit of money, I'd be recommending Adam Webster, definitely.
Okay, right. On to the next day's action, and started with Brentford-Everton.
Yeah, I don't really want to talk about Mbeumo. He's pissed me off. As soon as he plays Watford, he's going out my team, because that man has been an absolute waste of space.
He really has. And obviously, got booked in this game as well, just to add salt to your injuries.
Just to rub it in. He's a prick.
Yep. Those on Tony, though, very happy. Another goal again, this time a pen.
Yep.
You'll take that all day long. Quite a lot of yellow cards in this game, actually.
Yeah, there were. It was 7 in total.
Anyone on Allen for Everton will take that with a just hitting passing tier and getting tackled tier.
Decent return.
Decent return from the game. But yeah, Everton in general just looked very poor. I hopped off of Townsend ahead of this game because I just had enough. And obviously I went to ESR because I just fancied that for the captaincy rather than Townsend. I just didn't want him rotting away in my team for the next 2 to 3 weeks. No, and I'd advise anyone to do the same if they've got these sort of shit Everton players.
And it's like a bit like Damari Gray, for instance.
Obviously,
I saw that he was on the bench in this one, and to be fair, that's surprising given there were rumors that he could be out for, you know, 6 to 8 weeks at one point. So for him to be on the bench and then come on for 20 minutes is obviously credit, and clearly it wasn't as bad as it was made out to be. But I moved off of Damari Gray when I saw that. I kind of jumped off of him, went to Marcus Alonso, and we'll come on to our team shortly. But like you, I don't need the Everton coverage and I don't want it, so that was the perfect opportunity to ship him off.
Yep, fair enough.
Right then, let's jump onto a game in which I can't imagine the ownership for any of these players is particularly high. Potentially Watford, given the single that's coming up, but the players you'd want are forward players and they really take up a slot. But it was one hell of a game. It was Leicester 4, Watford 2.
Yeah, it was. And it's such a shame that kind of like Josh King and Dennis are strikers and not, say, midfielders, because I'd like to have someone like Josh King.
Yep.
But yeah, those striker spots are valuable. And credit to Jamie Vardy, 2 goals, shot 2 as well. So a very good result for anyone on him.
Definitely.
And Maddison, obviously, an exceptional display, goal, 2 assists, shot 2.
Maddison,
but
the question
is, can he do it consistently?
Yeah, he wound me up so much last season that I almost refuse to bring him in now, because there was also that period where it was Leicester captaincy coverages that we needed. Now I had Maddison and he did absolutely fuck all. Whereas this is the kind of performance we know the lad has in him. And he mentioned on Match of the Day about his own statistics and how he wants to improve his game. If he could show these kind of performances week in, week out, he could be one hell of a player. But I just think he hasn't really kicked on as much as people expected him to. Whether that, you know, is down to him, down to the way he's been used, down to injury, probably a mix of all three. But he's a very good player. And if he can be consistent, he genuinely becomes a very good option in this game.
Definitely agreed.
Right, let's jump on to a team in which, you know, tiers are just the norm, aren't they? It was Manchester City 2, West Ham 1.
Yep, the ever reliable City defence in terms of tiers delivered yet again. But obviously, a bit of a hammer blow, excuse the pun, for the Lanzini, that sort of injury time wipeout.
Yeah, I was on Cancelo captain in this game, and obviously he got
same.
Got shot, yeah. Shot tier, passing tier, looking at a perfect clean sheet, another absolute monster hole as a captain, and then he goes and gets his clean sheet wiped out, 94th minute, absolute joke.
Yeah, devastating. I think we would have been, just maybe even 100 or so places higher at least, if that, they had held that clean sheet. But yeah, Rodri and doing the business again, passing tier, tackle tier, very consistent, as with most sort of CDMs. Even credit to him, Declan Rice getting tackle tier in this game. He still looks a pretty good pick.
He does,
I'd imagine he'd maybe get tackle tier against Chelsea as well.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. See, man of the moment in this game was Ilkay Gundogan. See, goal, assist, picked himself up, shot tier. Unlucky, he was two passes away from a passing tier, but for anyone on him, absolute monster hole there. And he's a really under the radar pick for Man City. I think his price kind of puts you off a little bit, because most of us are going big at the back and, you know, with a strong forward line. So not many of us are spending much money on midfielders, but I think it's Craig from the Man On Pod. I'm sure he's got Gundogan, and I don't blame him, because he's a very good, very good asset.
Yeah, in the Champions League against PSG, he was playing quite far forward. Mm. So I think there's a potential for him to sort of go on a bit of a run like he did last season, with scoring a few goals. So I think, yeah, those that are on him, credit to you. You'll obviously keep him for the foreseeable.
Yeah, and obviously the common theme is the fact that De Bruyne isn't playing. And it does appear that whenever De Bruyne isn't there, Gundogan kind of steps up.
No, and they're still performing without him. So that's credit to the manager and credit to the team.
Yeah, big
time. They could easily be just sort of viewed as a sort of Kevin De Bruyne essential to the team, but he clearly isn't.
No, clearly not. All right, then, let's jump on to what was the last game of the weekend, given we had one that was snowed off, which we'll come on to. It was a surprising result. It was Chelsea 1, Man United 1.
Yeah, surprisingly decent performance from Man United. Sancho took his goal very well. Obviously, a Jorginho blunder. But yeah, Man United's general play was very good. And obviously, Chelsea are such a good team. They sort of beat Juventus 3-0 in the Champions League. And I expected them to do a little bit more damage against Man United, maybe even win 2-3-0.
Agreed.
But it was a very, very difficult game for them.
Yep, no, definitely. And see, Rudiger was incredibly unlucky not to score. I think obviously he hit the top of the crossbar with an absolute thunderbolt. It was two passes off of passing tier two, a shot away from short tier. It could have been a brilliant score once again from Rudiger, but I think it does feel like Chalobah, Silva and Rudiger have almost cemented, and I say that obviously given the crazy fixture schedule that we're about to come into, but those three seem to be the chosen three is the centre-back partnership at the moment. And obviously Aspilicueta and Christensen are the ones that are missing out. And Reece James, you know, with his performances of late, he's clearly nailed that right wing-back slot. And Alonso was the one that was given the opportunity this time round. Yeah, he was taken off in the 78th minute, but I think that's because Chelsea were kind of chasing a win. But yeah, I think Alonso, very good price. I think it's 7.9, I think is what we've paid for.
Yes,
Yeah, I think he's a steal at the moment. If you're not on him now and you're waiting, providing that obviously you see him in the lineup midweek, which you get to see, I'd be bringing him in if you can.
Yeah, no, I think that would make sense. I think even Chalobah, even with the question over the minutes, would actually not be a bad pick.
No, not at all.
He's looking quite good going forward. And him and Rudiger actually tend to push up the pitch quite a bit.
Yeah.
Chalobah is even on the wing at one point.
He was, yeah.
So, and obviously he's scored a couple already this season, even with his limited minutes. So yeah, I think even he might not be a bad pick. But yeah, Chelsea's still looking very good, and it'd be interesting to see how Lukaku fits back into the team.
Yeah, and then obviously on the other side, Man United are going to become quite a hot topic soon, because there are captaincies that we will probably need them for in December, and there is a period coming up in which there are some good hop-on opportunities for particularly someone like Cristiano Ronaldo, for instance. And I think we've got a question about the old threemium, which I want to have a conversation with you about. But they've got a new interim manager coming in, don't they?
Yes, they do. Rangnick, the German manager that I'd only heard of since the story broke. But from what I've read, seems to be a very well-respected manager within the sort of the German league.
Yep.
Obviously, Klopp, Tuchel, a lot of connections, and hopefully he'll get them performing.
Yeah, fingers crossed. That'll be interesting to see how Ronaldo performs under him, because I believe Rangnick's kind of style is very much a pressing game, and there's a lot of conversation on Twitter about, well, that's probably detrimental to Ronaldo, he doesn't press, blah blah blah. I would be very surprised if Rangnick can't kind of sell him at least the dream for the next 6 months of, this is what we want to achieve, because if he puts his mind to it, Ronaldo can obviously do anything. And he wasn't particularly happy being on the bench in this game. Came on with a bit of a glum face, and I think he stormed off after the game, didn't shake any of the Chelsea players' hands, but he's still going to be a hot topic of conversation, and the risk is, do we go there or do we not? And I think, yeah, it'll be worth having that conversation shortly.
Yeah, agreed.
And then obviously the game that we all missed out on was the Burnley Spurs game. It was snowed off with about an hour to go. It annoyed me a little bit because I'm on both Kane and Højbjerg. I know you're on Højbjerg, so we can't, you know, live that dream this week of Højbjerg picking up passes or tackle tier, getting an assist. It might come midweek. You never know. We've still got time, James. But yeah, I think this was a little bit disappointing. Sky had given 2 points to each of them this morning. And then I think it was Tom, who's in one of the group chats, and I think he's fifth. He was winning the Sky game at one point. He tweeted them, the bastard, about it. And then, yeah, they swiftly took the 2 points off of all Spurs and Burnley players. So, yeah, I lost four points there.
Oh, what a shame.
I know. What is it? Snitches get stitches, eh? Right then. Should we jump on to how our teams are performing at the moment halfway through the game week?
Yeah, let's do it. So I've had plenty of transfers in Team 1, so I've burnt a few. I've taken out Benrahma, Townsend, Livramento, Foden this week.
Fucking hell, he went big. To be fair, all four right decent moves, I think.
Brought in a load of players that didn't actually really do anything. Smith Rowe, Alonso, Bernardo Silva, and Declan Rice.
You went Bilva?
I did, yeah. Okay. He's been playing quite well. Returning fairly often, playing well. He even hit tiers in the last game, I think. But yeah, nothing from this game.
I
think I am too. I expected a little bit more from, so yeah, everyone except from Declan Rice, but he was actually the one that actually got 4 points instead of two.
It was.
But yeah, that's that team got 63 points. And
that's decent.
I think it's down to 2.8. I'm not sure. I don't really pay too much attention to it. But Meslier got 11 points, Cancelo on 12, Van Dijk on 16. Those are the highlights. Son missing out, Ronaldo getting nothing. It was a bit disappointing on that regard. My other team is, I think it's stayed about the same. It's 1.2k, 60 points, 11 for Sarr in goal, Alexander Arnold on 10, Cancelo on 12, Salah obviously. That team, I did a couple of transfers. I took out Antonio and Livramento and brought in Jimenez and Smith Rowe. Again, feel a bit unfortunate. I feel like Jimenez against Norwich would have been potentially a goal in that game, but yeah, it just wasn't to be. I'm relatively happy with it. I've still got 31 transfers, so there's still hopefully ground to be made up.
Yeah, definitely. In my main team, obviously I kind of dropped out of the top 1k for a while and back into it. So at 621st, 71 points this week so far. Mainly down to, you know, Virgil van Dijk getting a big 16 pointer there. So that really made the difference, given I've got Højbjerg and Kane sat there with zeros. Obviously in Burma with one, it was frustrating. I've got Rudiger and Alonso. Hopefully that'll pay off, you know, is a duo for the next few weeks. And yeah, and Ramsdale has obviously been doing very well. Got another 12 pointer this week. So that team sat comfortably, and hoping I can kind of really build with that one. The team that I'm not particularly fussed about, but just ticking along, it's 2.9. It's my B team. It's only on 52 points this week so far. But once again, I've got Son and Højbjerg, didn't really do a lot. And I've got a couple of planned moves in that this week, potentially moving on, say, Antonio. So we'll have to wait and see. Quickly then on captaincies before we move to questions. What are your thoughts for this week? So obviously Tuesday the 30th, we've got Newcastle, Norwich or Leeds Palace. And I think the debate will probably be Rafinha or Gallagher, depending on if you're on one, both or neither.
Yeah, my better team, I'm on, I've got both players. So yeah, it's tricky. Because it's at Leeds, I'm tempted to go for Rafinha as opposed to Gallagher.
Yep,
but there's not much in it. It's like a paper thin choice, I think.
Yeah, whereas I have to go Gallagher because I don't have Rafinha. So I think it's going to be tight. I think it'll be a really tough decision. Obviously, Wednesday the 1st. I think there's only one standout, isn't it? Surely, you know, we get to see the lineups, which is the big thing. Even though there's two 8:15 games, you'll get to see that before the 7:30s kick off, which is key. I'm hoping I've got signal inside St. Mary's because
oh yeah,
otherwise I'm
fucked,
mate.
Won't.
Exactly, because Mo Salah will be my captain, providing he's playing. If he's not playing, then obviously we've got decisions to make, and I may well then jump on a Chelsea defender, for instance. But yeah, I will be begging to have signal in that ground, and I'll be standing in a position in which I've got it until I really have to take my seat.
Would you not be interested in going Cancelo if Salah was benched?
Well, if Cancelo's playing, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think given the way that Villa have been playing, I think Chelsea are probably more likely to keep a clean sheet against Watford than City would be against Villa.
Yeah.
So say Rudiger starts, I think Rudiger could be a good option there, but it'd be tight, definitely.
Yeah, I think even without the clean sheet, Cancelo gets forward so much. Yeah. There's shot tier, passing tier, goals, assists to be had.
Yep. If you were on Van Dijk like myself, would you be tempted to captain him if, say, Salah wasn't?
Yes, yeah. Van Dijk or Alexander-Arnold, yeah. If either of those were playing and Salah wasn't, yeah, it'd be worth considering. Everton have looked pretty ropey recently, and obviously we know what Alexander-Arnold and Van Dijk can do. Van Dijk very easily clock up passing tier, Trent's on free kicks, gets assists out of his ears.
Yeah, I think there's some big decisions to be made on Wednesday, and if Salah isn't in that starting lineup, some massive decisions. I think there could be some big swings.
Definitely.
And then obviously on the final day of the week, Thursday the 2nd, there's two games. It's Spurs-Brentford and United-Arsenal. Most of us are surely going to be on a Spurs asset if we've got one. This is the game I'm hoping Harry Kane fucking does something, because if he doesn't, Jesus Christ. The other alternative is obviously the Man United-Arsenal game. This is one of the entry points for Man United. And the question is, do you go to someone like Ronaldo, for instance, or do we hold off just a little bit more?
See, well, I'm already there, so I'm already on Ronaldo. Yeah. So obviously I'm going to captain him if he plays, if he starts. However, if I wasn't already on him, I'd maybe just wait a bit.
Yeah, I think that's my plan. On my original schedule, I had the move down to bring him in for this week, but I think I'm going to hold. And then reassess once we've seen a little bit more of Rangnick Ball.
Yeah, there's just a lot of unknowns about them at the moment.
Agreed, yeah. Right then, we've got a few questions in, so thanks, guys, given the really short turnaround. First things first, from FF Dempsey. My attempted punt on Phil Foden looks like it's completely failed. Is it time to move him on or hold for now?
Yeah, that happened to me in my first team. I think I brought him in and took him out in the same week. cut my losses. I saw he wasn't playing, obviously, against West Ham, and moved him on. I think with this period, you're going to need players that are starting.
Yeah.
And I think he's not going to be reliable enough from that point of view, with Pep Roulette. Pep loves to have a fresh squad, and he's going to get rotated.
Agreed, yeah. I mean, obviously, if he's in that starting lineup for Villa, you'd keep him and then you'd reassess.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
But if he's not, yeah, I think that's the perfect opportunity to jump on. There's plenty of other teams there that you can, and you get to see all of the lineups. So I think that's going to be a big, big setup. Question from Tom Sky FF, keeping Kane. For me, yes. You're not on him, are you?
I'm not on him anyway. So, but if you've obviously not already binned him off after Sunday's no-show, then I think you might as well wait for that Thursday fixture against Brentford.
Yeah, or even then on Sunday the 5th, they're home against Norwich, and arguably, if you're not on Ronaldo, I think he's probably the standout captaincy option in that game.
Mm.
And then... But,
yeah.
After that, maybe you could reassess, but I think there are two standout captaincies if you do have Harry Kane, and given his ownership is up at, 66% or something at the moment, you'd be very much risking it if you went against him. And I know I say that, he's going to get 2 points on Wednesday and he's going to get 2 points on the weekend, but it is what it is.
It's each week we're sat here now.
Yeah, 100%. Question in from Phantom Mantle. Are you thinking of coming off of Rafinha, assuming you have him, for their horrendous run of fixtures? So I'll pass this to you, mate, because I don't own him.
I do own him, and I think for the moment they're so the next two are obviously okay, Palace and Brentford, horrendous. But then after that it is pretty bad. Villa, which would have been a light at the end of the tunnel, is no longer, I'd say. No. A light at the end of the tunnel.
There's five games there where we don't often see tackles or whatnot for Rafinha. There's five games where are we really expecting attacking returns? It's tricky.
I think, I'll probably move off after the Brentford game and either look to downgrade or upgrade him into a defender, a Van Dijk, whoever it may be. I reckon I'll probably go off of him.
Agreed, yeah. A quick one from Ryan Fitzsimmons. If Thiago keeps this kind of form, is he an option?
I mean, I doubt he's going to keep scoring. But potentially, obviously, passing tiers and stuff like that, like he could get involved. But
I don't think he is at the moment.
He's not someone I'm really even thinking about. No. So for me, a no.
Yeah, not at all. One from Luke NDN. It's not a question, more of an observation. Rafinha to Saka looks good when Leeds' fixtures turn. Either that or Bernardo Silva. Obviously, you've mentioned Bernardo Silva there. You've gone on him. I think Saka, if you need the coverage for the Arsenal game, yeah, sure. But if you have the option, I think Smith Rowe could be good, given Saka looked like he picked up an injury in the Arsenal game. So that's worth kind of keeping an eye on and assessing, because if not, Smith Rowe. Or if you can afford to and you need the coverage, move to a defender.
Yeah, agreed. Smith, I would save you a bit of money.
And then the final question of the pod, and the one that I wanted to keep till the end, because I think it's a hot topic. It's from Glenroy. Thoughts on what appears to be the less popular threemium? So obviously we're talking about Kane, Salah and Ronaldo as your front three.
What, you say the least popular?
Yeah, it's becoming less popular now. So
all right, yeah.
I think... about a month ago, 6 weeks ago, everybody was talking about, right, there's the perfect opportunity here to get on all three. You're going to want all three throughout December, blah, blah, blah. I'm seeing a lot more people now with five at the back, and they look like they're sticking with five at the back. I've got the debate myself whether I go five at the back with big defenders or whether I bring in Ronaldo. And I know that I'm going to need that Man United coverage, but I don't know if I want to do it when I want to do it. The target now is that Norwich game. I've got to see something from it before I do, because it's going to be a gamble and we don't get to see the United lineup in that game. So do I want to move on to Ronaldo to then see him on the bench again? I really don't know. It's tough and it's definitely not as clear cut as it was. It could be a bit of a differential, which isn't what I thought it was going to be 6 weeks ago.
No, yeah, very true. I myself, haven't really actually eyed up Harry Kane. So it's very much been a kind of a lower budget freemium, like someone like Antonio or Jimenez alongside Salah and Ronaldo for me. And that's probably what it's going to be. I imagine I'll keep Jimenez for the next game at least against Burnley and reassess after that. But I think, yeah, potentially the freemium is not necessarily required. Defence is where the points are in this game, and the official FPL, it's where they're at.
Agreed, yeah. And there was a bit of a news that we had before we podded today about the Club World Cup and the fact that Chelsea, I think they're going to miss two games after overhaul. So it's worth obviously maybe keeping a few transfers in mind there, because now we know that we can't really select Chelsea players at overhaul, and we're going to want to bring them in again at some point, because inevitably we're going to want at least two of the defenders, probably maybe even a Lukaku. So just something to keep an eye on for the planning, and obviously we'll touch on that later when we do our future kind of overhaul podcast. So James, this is the last podcast in which Manscaped will be sponsoring us. Definitely want to say thanks to the guys there for sponsoring all of our November podcasts, and would you like to kick it off?
Yep, so Manscaped just launched their fourth generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. You can join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer just for you, 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code TSK20 at manscaped.com.
So guys, imagine shaving with a sleek, well-designed and optimized trimmer that makes shaving time your favorite time in the bathroom. Manscaped engineered the ultimate groin and body trimmer by focusing on intelligent functionality and an incredibly comfortable grooming experience. Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce those grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology. So it's time to get your own ball hair and body trimmer with Manscaped to make me time the best time and enhance your confidence. Your balls will definitely thank you.
So that's 20% off and free shipping with the code TSK20 at manscaped.com. 20% off, free shipping with just using that code. Unlock your confidence and use the right tools of the job with Manscaped.
Yeah, so once again, just want to say thanks to the guys for reaching out and sponsoring the podcast. It's been much appreciated. So good luck, everybody, with the continuing Sky game week. Hopefully your captaincies pay off, and fingers crossed those tricky transfer decisions come good. I think that's all now.
Don't balls it up.
Yeah, try not to balls it up, guys. So on that note, it is a goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.
Cheers, guys.